Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's pray together. Our Father, Your Word commands us to pray without ceasing, to ask and to seek and to knock. Lord, we know that we have not because we ask not. And we ask You this night, Lord, would You bless the Word to our hearts? Would You cause us to hear and by Your Spirit reveal unto us the blessedness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, how needful we are. Lord, we're frail creatures. The Lord Jesus is our all and in all. Speak, we pray. Help us to worship for Christ's sake. Amen. The Spirit of God revealed through the Apostle Paul, but it was God speaking, that there's two immutable truths concerning God's rest. Two things that just don't change. Number one, that there remaineth a rest to the people of God. And that God's people, God's elect, must enter therein. Because God Almighty has ordained that His people shall enter into rest. A rest from striving after acceptance with God based upon their own works. They rest from that. They rest from trying to establish peace with God by their own efforts or by their own will. They rest from that. They stop it. Stop. Before Almighty God calls a man, calls a woman out of darkness, it doesn't matter what kind of shingle you hang on your outside of your building, what you call yourself. Either you believe free grace, all of grace, salvation by grace, through faith, salvation by sovereign grace. Either you believe by grace or you believe salvation by works. And by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy. You know that scripture right there. And I'm not saying that people believe it. I'm not saying that. Until the Lord opens their eyes and gives them a heart to believe. But that scripture right there answers every false religion. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So that's the first. That's an immutable, an unchangeable truth. God's people have a rest and they must enter in because God ordained it. And here's the second immutable truth. Those that do not enter into God's rest do not enter in because of unbelief. That's the reason. They don't believe God. They don't believe His Christ. They don't believe His Word, which is to say you don't believe God. Now, the rest, we looked at this last week. It's a present rest. It starts in this life. And God's people in regenerating grace and power. You know something of that rest. You do have a rest. You rest. And while you're resting, you're struggling, striving, laboring, verse 11, to enter into that rest. Striving by faith, seeking the Lord, looking to Him only, struggling with yourself. Trying to call on Him. Trying to pray. Praying and struggling because you see the inconsistency of yourself. How you just hating yourself for it. That's what Job said. I loathe myself. The world. Boy, I'm telling you, that's outward and inward. And it wars against the believer. And that rest, we grow in grace. And this is the way that God has ordained that we grow. And this is the growth. John the Baptist summed it up. I believe this is a good scripture on growing in grace. I must decrease. He must increase. A man or woman that grows in grace, you listen to them talk. Boy, they don't have hardly anything good to say about. Well, they don't have anything good to say about themselves. What they have to say is that for me to live is Christ. All of my hope, Him. The Scripture says, verse 6, Hebrews 4, some must enter therein. Well, you know, when some must enter therein, you know they're going to enter. How are they going to enter? How is a man, a woman, how? Here's a man dead in trespasses and sins, a woman dead. Can't hear, can't see. No love, no desire, no will. Dead. Spiritually dead. And they must enter in. They must enter in. How? How are they going to enter in? The Lord, remember when the Lord brought Ezekiel up that valley of dry bones? Ask him that question. Ezekiel, can these bones live? I love his answer. Lord, thou knowest. If you think about this. Think about this. Lord, can my brother live? Lord, can my kids live? Lord, can you save my family? Can these bones live, Lord? You know. You preach to them. You preach to them. This is the confidence that I have. God Almighty is going to call out His people. His people must enter in. And I'll tell you this. We don't have time for games. We don't have time for foolishness. Seminars and bazaars. What do you got for the kids? Same thing we got for the adults. God's Word. What do? You preach to them. Trust God. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. How are they going to enter in? All right, here's the answer right here. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I know this. I know that God's people are going to be called out of darkness. I know that. I know that. My sheep hear my voice. They follow. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Well, that just sums it up. They're coming. But He's ordained the means by which they're going to come. And it's preaching. Through the foolishness, what the world considers foolishness. You mean to tell me that you honestly believe that the eternal salvation of a man's soul is going to be established through the preaching of the gospel? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is all the hope we got. This is all the hope we got right here. This is all of it. And everything else, I'm telling you, is dung. Everything else is rubbish. Everything else is nothing. It's going to be consumed. I got God's word on that. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But my word's never going to pass away. This is all we got. This is all we need. This is all God's people desire. They must enter in. Who knows? Maybe the Lord may save one of your own. Ask Him. What we're doing here tonight, this is what Almighty God has affirmed in His Word that He's going to bless. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It's the power of God. It's the means of God unto salvation. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The Word of God. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Oh, I pray God to be pleased to save some of His own tonight. For the Word of God, the uncreated Word Himself, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The uncreated Word and the written Word. This is God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. John 12:48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The Word of God. The Word of God, God's Word says, is quick. It's alive. Now I'll tell you, this is something that we're not humanly speaking, we're not familiar with this. We say things and we just talk and it's just nothing more to us than communication, kind of a transfer of thoughts. And you know, God's Word said, my Word is alive. And we believe this. The Word of God is alive. As the Lord Jesus Christ ever liveth, His Word ever liveth. Scriptures. They're alive because He's alive. They're quick because He's quick. He ever liveth to make intercession. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 23-25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, we come this evening. This is we're not just taking up time. These words will never fade away. Not His words. Alive. The Word of God, some must enter in. How? The Word of God. It's quick. And it's powerful. That's what it says. It's alive and it's powerful. What God has said is suitable to detect hypocrisy. It's able to show a man exactly what that man is by nature. Here's God's Word. You hear it. The Spirit of God, before a man's called out of darkness, he hears the Word of God with a corporal ear, but doesn't hear. And God Almighty imparts life to him. And he hears that Word. Just that Word that he's heard and heard and heard. I've said before, how many times do you hear me preaching really anything different? Do you know I'm saying what I said last week? Isn't that wonderful? I don't want to hear anything else. Tell me again. I've said before, tell me one more time how God put away my guilt. Tell me one more time how He ever liveth to make intercession. Tell me one more time how He has compassion on the ignorant. I have no way right now in my mind of knowing. I cannot come to grasp hold the fullness of what God demands. I talk about the holiness of God, and I'm lost. I can say it. Paul said these things are too high for me. Too high. Word of God is powerful. That a word that spoken, blessed by the Spirit of God, and the dead live. Lazarus, come forth. He got up. Jairus' daughter. Jairus came, talked to the Lord, and said, my daughter's sick. The Lord was coming. Along the way, the woman that had the issue of blood touched him. He stopped. Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? Disciples told him, everybody touched your clothes. You're in the press. No, he said, virtue went out of my body. He stopped, and there she was. She was scared to death. He said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. The object of her faith made her whole. His words spoken, she was healed. Jairus' daughter died. They came, told him, said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Lord says she's not dead. They laughed. He walked, he spoke, she lived. His word powerful. You think about this. He calls a man or woman out of darkness. Speaks life to them. That takes God to do that. In Him was life. His Word is powerful to the saving, the keeping, sustaining, everlastingly of a man or woman's soul. God's Word. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what Revelation 1:16 described Him as. Out of His mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. There's nothing blunt about it. It accomplishes the purpose. That's what we just read. To which it was sent. It does just exactly what God Almighty said it's going to do. This is man's religion. God wants to save you. He died for you. Shed His blood for you. Suffered the humiliation. Men spit on Him and plucked out His beard and carried the cross. And He hung on that cross. And He died to make salvation possible. Won't you let Him? Won't you let Him? Let Him come in your heart. He's standing at the door knocking. Do you hear Him? I defy that little g God. He's no God. Our God is in the heavens and He does as He will. And no man can stay His hand. No man stops Him. His Word is powerful, quick, and sharper than any two-edged sword. This sharp, two-edged sword. By that Word, men know He was made. This is what He said. He was made sin. Made what I am. And God Almighty dealt with Him. What men and women will be judged for in the day of judgment. What they will be judged for. For what they are. Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made that. What do you think makes the difference between what they're judged for and what we were judged for in Him? We were dug out of the same pit. We were the same lump. Who maketh thee to differ from another? I'll tell you, God's grace. Men will stand in their own rebellion, and He who knew no sin, the holy, harmless Lamb of God, was made sin, not a sinner. Don't you ever let anybody tell you He was made a sinner. Remember, a sinner is one that is disobedient. And He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Somebody say, well, how can you say He was made sin, but He wasn't a sinner? The Word of God says it was. That's the way it was. He was the obedient servant. The obedient substitute. Made sin. And God Almighty forsook Him. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why. Because He was made sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, this is a great, great mystery. But this is all your hope. Word of God, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. No one ever comes in contact with the Word of God unaffected. No one ever comes into contact with God's Word unaffected. Let me show you this. Turn to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. No one ever comes into contact with God's Word unaffected. Second Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life and unto life. And who's sufficient for these things? The gospel of Christ is precious, whether you believe it or whether you don't. It's His Word. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. His Word, according to His Word, penetrates and discerns between the animal life of man and the eternal soul of that man, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You say, how do you? I have a spirit about me, the spirit of a man. And when I die, my spirit is, I just don't walk anymore. But my soul lives. I have an eternal soul that will live. And after the Word of God, the Scripture sets forth, divides asunder of soul and spirit. How can it be that sharp? While these two things are invisible to us, how do you divide between? God's Word separates between the two. You see, we just think we know who we're talking about. We just think we understand. We just think that we can perceive the depth of His Word. It divides between the joints and the marrow. The joints and the marrow, those things that are hidden from your eyes, my eyes, the Word of God pierces and reaches into that area that you and I are just ignorant of. We just don't. The Word of God. Is a man going to hide from God? Do you think you'll hide your thoughts, your intents from Almighty God? You think you're doing something that God's not aware of? Every idle word, every idle thought, if it be not covered by the blood of Christ, can you imagine having to answer? The Word of God is sharp, quick, powerful, cut, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I mean, I may think something and pass it off. I may mull it over for a while and muse on it for a while and think about it for a while and decide on it for a while. When did it go from being just a thought and an intent? I don't know. He does. He does. This is the one of whom we must deal. This is God Almighty. The thoughts and the understanding of the heart are brought out in perfect clarity before Almighty God. Before we ever uttered a word, before you ask, He said in prayer, I'll answer. Can you imagine the little puny God this world is trying to serve? That scripture that says a man will take a chunk of wood and he'll cut him up, he'll make him a pile of firewood, and then he might make him an axe handle or something like that out of that piece of wood, and then he'll carve him an idol out of that same piece of wood. He'll bow down and worship. He said, they don't see. They don't hear. The heart of man, whether he's regenerated by grace or left in his own rebellion of unbelief, the Word of God knows. He knows. He knows. In closing, I want you to turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. Verse 36. Luke 24:36. As they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Why do you think what you think? You know, since this service began, there hasn't been a thought that has gone through our minds that He's not aware. Aren't you glad that Almighty God has put away your guilt, you that believe? Aren't you glad that He forgives you for Christ's sake? Aren't you glad that the one that discerns between our thoughts and our intents, the one that discerns between the soul and the spirit, He who has loved His people with an everlasting love, is compassionate, long-suffering, and gentle for His name's sake. Salvation is all of grace. Lord, have mercy on me. I stand before You empty in myself. Some must enter in. I know this. Those that must enter in are going to enter in. Those that don't enter in will not enter in because they don't believe Him. But those that enter into God's rest, enter in this life, and that rest that they entered into in this life, perfected in glory. I know this. Revelation 5 says that the 24 elders cast their crowns before Him and say, Lord, You're worthy to receive all honor, glory, and praise. Because You redeemed us. You redeemed us. Any man, any woman that enters in is going to enter in by God's Word. Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. May the Lord have mercy upon us, comfort us, cause us to muse upon these things for His name's sake. Amen.